I would direct your attention to the announcements at the end of the bulletin. This has been a busy week, and there are more announcements that are not in your bulletin that I will go over right now. 2 weeks from today, Sunday, June 14th, we will have a congregational meeting after the drive-in worship service to vote on a council recommendation to replace the HVAC system in the educational building. A letter from council explaining this project in detail will go out to you by mail this week. You'll have a chance to submit questions and comments ahead of time by email and using a microphone at the meeting if needed. So keep an eye out for that letter explaining this project. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, has called on the church to observe a national day of mourning tomorrow to grieve the deaths of the more than 100,000 Americans who have died as a result of the coronavirus. So we join together in prayer tomorrow for the healing of our nation and this world that God so loves. I will be offering adult Zoom classes on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. in the coming weeks. We'll have a Zoom test this coming Wednesday during those times for anyone who's unfamiliar with Zoom and needs help getting that set up. So an email will go out about that tomorrow. Keep an eye out for that and participate in the test this Wednesday if needed. We'll start the classes in earnest on Wednesday, June the 10th. Also, I think you've all heard this and know this by now, but I want to mention to you that we will have worship here in this same time and place each Sunday during the month of June. So I look forward to seeing you all the next 4 weeks at least. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. For our children's time today, I want us to think together about this day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the church in the form of wind or air and fire. And the Spirit coming changed the church forever. So today I want to invite you to do a little scavenger hunt in your own homes after church today. I want you to go and find things that use air or wind, things that use fire. Please do so safely. Please do not play with fire. But find those things. Some examples of things that use air might be a beach ball, or the tires in your car, or a fan. Things that use fire might include a candle, or a grill, or a fireplace, or a match. Talk as a family about how air or wind and fire change things. For example, a beach ball is a whole lot more fun to play with when it has air in it. Talk about that together. And then talk about how the Holy Spirit comes and changes the church. We are better when God fills us with the gift of the Spirit and uses us to change and shape the world. Let us pray. Oh God, you give your people, your children, many gifts. We thank you for your coming among us to fill us with your Spirit, with your wind, with your fire. We ask you to be with us as you change us so that we may go and change the world for the better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The questions that come up this Sunday and next are two of the most difficult questions for us to think about in our faith. Today we may ponder, what is the Holy Spirit? That question's only slightly less difficult than the one we may ponder next week, what is the Holy Trinity? I'm not going to answer that question directly, at least not in terms of giving the Spirit of God a definition. I would say God's Spirit is more an activity than anything else, always busy and active among us. But it's funny to me how formulaic and how precise we often want to be about defining and explaining the Holy Spirit. We take what is mysterious, what is free form, what is nebulous, and we try to pin it down as something we can hold on to and understand. Pentecost, we've traditionally been taught and taught ourselves, is the birthday of the church. We heard that story again this morning from Acts chapter 2. Gathered in Jerusalem 50 days after Easter, the disciples are finally clothed with power from on high and receive the promised Holy Spirit. The mission of the church, therefore, could begin to unfold as it was supposed to. But I'd like for us to think today about that so-called birthday of the church, and I propose to you that it isn't quite so easy to nail down to that Acts chapter 2 account of the sending of the Spirit. One could argue the church was born at any number of places along the way, but one place we might start is the gospel lesson for today from John. It turns out the church was born and the Spirit was given not just 50 days after Easter, because there in John's account we read that the Spirit was given and the church born in some sense on Easter evening. gathered in that upper room, the disciples huddled behind closed and locked doors. And suddenly Jesus appeared to them. He bid them peace not once, but twice. He showed them his wounds. He gave them the Holy Spirit by breathing over them. And he sent them to continue the work that he began in his earthly ministry. This is quite a different account than the account we hear in Acts chapter 2. No tongues of fire, no speaking in other languages, no rush of a mighty wind, simply the voice, the breath of Jesus. Yet, this is the same gift of the Holy Spirit which will enable Jesus' followers to continue the work of revealing the life and love of God to all people. Yet even this is not the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Mark, the Spirit descended onto Jesus like a dove at his baptism. In the Gospel of Luke, even before Jesus was born, the Holy Spirit visited Mary to announce and bring about a child named Jesus. After Jesus' own baptism, the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tested for 40 days. The Holy Spirit, we see, was active in Jesus' mission and ministry before Pentecost, before Easter. Likewise, the Spirit comes up in the Old Testament as well, even all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters of the deep. And so it's not as if the Spirit came at Pentecost or at Easter and at no other time. This is not a once and done thing for the Spirit coming among God's people. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved in the life of the church, in the life of God's people, in the life of the world, and has been since the beginning. One of the places and ways we most often lift up the work of the Holy Spirit is in the sacrament of holy baptism. We emphasize the presence of the Spirit in the life of the person being baptized. And yet even in the biblical accounts of baptism, we find surprising variety. Certainly there are some accounts of baptism that we would say seem normal, for lack of a better word. People heard the message of the gospel. They were then baptized and became part of the community of believers. But there are other stories of baptism there as well. My favorite is in Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit led Philip out into the wilderness. And there the Spirit led him to baptize an Ethiopian eunuch. There Philip baptized someone he probably never expected to meet, much less include in the church, a foreigner with different colored skin, one who might be considered an outcast. And no sooner had Philip baptized him than Philip was taken up by the Spirit and disappeared from sight. Meanwhile, the newly baptized Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Stranger still, in Acts chapter 10, some Gentiles had apparently received the Holy Spirit without being baptized at all. And when Peter and his fellow Jewish leaders of the early church, who were reluctant to include Gentiles as members, when they found out about this, the Spirit being given without baptism, they had to figure out how they would respond. How would they react to those whom they had excluded? They said to one another, "Who are we to keep from being baptized those on whom the Spirit has come?" So they baptized those Gentiles, and the church grew in its understanding of faith and grace. And again in Acts 19, Paul traveled to Ephesus, and there he found some who believed in Jesus, and he asked them, "Were you baptized?" They said, "Yes, sir, we had John's baptism, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." And Paul said, "Were you not baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit?" And they answered him, "No, sir, we hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." God's Spirit was poured out on those who didn't even know about God's Spirit. We're often quick to want to define, to nail down the role and the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, maybe even to limit the movement of the Spirit to what we deem right or appropriate. We want to say, well, the Spirit looks like flaming tongues and other languages, or the Spirit is the Comforter whom Jesus promised would come, or the Spirit is that which we receive at baptism. All of this is true. But the Spirit also seems to revel in variety. The Spirit finds joy in showing up and surprising us in unexpected ways, in unexpected places, at unexpected times. The Spirit does not conform to our expectations about things. Thanks be to God. In fact, if there's anything that we see in these appearances of the Holy Spirit, it's that when the Spirit appears, God's people are left wondering what has just happened and how are we to respond. The Spirit leads and surprises God's people with new gifts, new ministries, new mission, new members, new beliefs, newly opened hearts and minds. Today's gospel lesson is one such surprise to the disciples gathered on Easter evening in their locked room. Not only are they surprised at the sudden appearance of their risen Lord, but they are not given a choice in the matter. Jesus breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And more than that, they receive an odd command: if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, back during Easter, when this reading came up, I mentioned that forgiving the sins of any might involve, for those disciples, forgiving those who had put Jesus to death. It might involve forgiving Judas, who betrayed Jesus. But forgiving the sins of any also involves the disciples' willingness to reach out to those who didn't look like them, or live like them, or worship the same as them. Folks like that Ethiopian whom Philip met. Folks like those Gentiles who received the Spirit. Folks like those Ephesians who didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What does it mean for Jesus to say to the gathered church, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven"? It means that Jesus' mission and ministry of bringing light into darkness and life into death now falls to the church. Just as the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends His followers, you and me. We are those who are to forgive others, to bring courage and comfort to the fearful and grieving, to bring faith to those who have lost hope, to bring healing and relief where there is suffering, to bring abundance where there is scarcity. Talk about a heavy responsibility. I would say even the events of this week and the events of last night in our city show us the importance of God's Spirit coming among us to lead us, to restore the world, to right relationship with God. Jesus empowers, Jesus gifts the church with the Holy Spirit to continue the reconciling work Jesus did during His time on earth. Not merely forgiving those who have moral failings, as important as that work is, but also presenting the world and those we meet with the light and love and truth of God. As we go and live, we are to shine. We are to shine forth with beautiful gifts of God, those things we ourselves know and receive here in this place. And in doing so, we forgive sin. We wipe away doubt and disbelief. We overcome the darkness that hangs heavy over our world and our neighbors. We shine faith on a faithless world. People find themselves drawn toward the love and truth of God shining through our lives. And we must remember this Pentecost day, as heavy as this task feels, we do not do this by our own strength or power. God is gifting us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be co-workers with God in redeeming this world that God loves so much. So today we celebrate this gift we have, this calling we've received. And we celebrate the variety of ways the Spirit has made the Spirit manifest in the life of the church. I've hit the highlights of the biblical witness this morning, but I want you right now to ponder the ways in which the Spirit has been made known to us in the past, how the Spirit is made known to us today, how the Spirit may be made known to us in the future. Where have you seen God's Spirit at work in this place and in your life over the years? I invite you to ponder that question as we go today. I'll lift up a few examples. I hope that during our recent call process was one place you saw the Spirit at work. That was certainly the case for me. And I believe the Spirit has led us together for such a time and such a task as this, to be the church together in this place for the sake of one another and the world. What about the Spirit's work among us to spur us to new ministries? Have you seen the Spirit at work in our food pantry ministry, our wheelchair ramp ministry, our transitions meal ministry, and the plethora of ministries we support with time, with talents, with treasure each year? Perhaps you've seen the Spirit at work in your life during a time of great hardship or need. I know for me personally, in the difficult days since my dad's death, the Spirit has moved you all in wonderful ways to reach out with hope, with comfort, and with peace. Even in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of a difficult time, the Spirit is leading, the Spirit is guiding the church. The changes we are making to our life together, to our ministries, to keep one another safe yet stay connected, these are places where the Spirit is pulling at our edges a bit, leading us to new ways of doing things, new truths, and new insights to discover. And the Spirit will not stop showing up. The Spirit will not stop leading, guiding, and dare I say, surprising all of us. I trust that when we're able to gather in person in the sanctuary again, we will once again experience in new and exciting ways the rush of the Spirit in our midst. Together we continue to wait patiently, to trust truly, and to follow faithfully where the Spirit leads us to go. I dare say it probably will not be where we expect. It may not be how we expect, but it will be always for the sake of this world God so loves, and it will be always for God's own glory. So I invite you today to renew your openness to the Holy Spirit, to look for where the Spirit is leading us and surprising us. And I invite you to go also filled and empowered by the same Spirit to make God's love known among those who need it the most in your life this week. Remember and receive the words of Jesus: if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And remember that as the Father sent Jesus, so now he sends you. Amen. Thank you. Called together in one spirit, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We call on your spirit of unity, giving thanks for our different vocations. Activate and utilize the diverse gifts present in your church, that they reveal your love for all. Lord, in your mercy, we call on your spirit of life present in air, wind, humidity, storms, and oxygen in our atmosphere, breathing energy into all things. Heal with your breath the whole creation, especially those who struggle to breathe due to air pollution. Lord, in your mercy, we call on your spirit of righteousness. Wherever we are divided as a people, unite us. Wherever we are prideful, humble us. Give each one of us a heart for justice and empathy. Lord, in your mercy, we call on your spirit of healing. Bless nurses, doctors, midwives, chaplains, counselors, and hospice workers as they care for those in need. We pray for all who long for comfort, especially those on our prayer list, those whom we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, we call on your spirit of friendship. As Elizabeth welcomed Mary to her home, give us a spirit of welcome to those whom we meet in this congregation and outside of our doors. Surprise us daily with unexpected grace, that we rejoice in every blessing you send. Lord, in your mercy, we call on your spirit of hope. As you have led your saints in all times and places, stir us in the desire to follow their example, leading us from death to new life in you. Lord, in your mercy, with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. A note as we enter into our time of Holy Communion together, your communion elements are double sealed. The wafer is in the top seal, I will try to leave a little more time for you to get into those packages. I know not all of us had an easy time last week. So the top seal, the little foil, or the little clear part is the wafer. The bottom foil seal opens the juice. So I invite you to carefully open that at the right time. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, you have fed us with your word and our hearts burn within us. Through this meal, you have opened us to your presence. Now send us forth to share the gifts of Easter with all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.